have with us the always wonderful, always insightful Morgan Roberts, here to talk to us about a great new film, Everybody by Julie Cohn, directed by Julie Cohn. And we're both so excited to talk about this. Morgan, thank you so much for speaking with us today about this great film.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. Thanks for coordinating this.
So today we're going to talk about this. It's a documentary about three individuals. Director Julie Cohn, wonderful director. Morgan, my first question to you would be, what drew you to the film? I know what drew me to the film, but what drew you to this film that made you say, aha, can't miss this?
I think it's a combination of, I'm a big fan of the director Julie Cohen's previous work with RBG, My Name is Pauline Murray, Julia. And I think the topic itself was so interesting because it is chronicling the lives of three intersex individuals. But we really don't know a lot about that topic. And I feel like maybe my only introduction to it was a one-off episode of Everwood, which mid-aughts, really doubt that it was as insightful or as accurate as it could have been. But the fact that that was really my only knowledge of what intersex people go through, I just was really drawn to learning more.
When I read the blurb that came in hitting my email, I said, wow, it said three young children, these young children. And I'm thinking, children, what? Wait, what was that? And I decided I really had to see this. But then I noticed that it was by Julie Cohen. I was like, oh, can't miss this because she's wonderful. So yeah, I mean, it was just it the description intrigued me simply because it was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Yeah. And so that drew me in. And again, like you said, you don't really hear anything about this topic, and she's wonderful. She handles so many varied topics in her previous films with such delicacy and humor and warmth, Julie. And I just thought, if anyone's going to explain this in a way that is going to be insightful and yet not too heavy, with an upward approach, and that's exactly what we get, it's going to be Julie. So yeah, I really was dying to see it, and I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad you did too, because I was busting to talk about it, and here we are. So let's get into what exactly it means, that the definition as far as she describes it. It's a little tricky because honestly, I don't think people would quite get it at first blush. It's kind of a complicated issue. And I thought she handled it very delicately and very upbeat, and she let the individuals speak in their own words and describe their experiences, which was wonderful. And I've got to say, who she picked for this film, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I feel like I want to get together with all of them and like go out to have a drink because they're awesome. So anyway, the definition of intersex, I guess we could say the physical traits, anatomical traits are for both. Not they're not binary, and that I think as people might have people a little confused, and this is why you should go see this film because you will understand that she explains it very, very well. She also, I was intrigued, she said that about 1.7% of the population have this situation going on in their lives, and I got to be honest with you, don't you think that maybe that's a little low? I thought it was a little low.
I'm sure it is. And one of the things that is really hammered home in the film is the fact that there is so much secrecy around being intersex. And so I feel it's kind of almost like, when I was growing up, there was this understanding that only 10% of the population was part of the LGBTQ plus community. And I feel like now we are seeing that number rise because we're seeing people being able to come out and be out in a safe way. Not always,
I
but
had the same
yes.
reaction when I was growing up. It was like, oh, yeah, less, very tiny part of the population. I'm thinking, no, no, it's not. So yeah, that's it. That was my reaction exactly. The secrecy. Let's talk about the secrecy because that was really what broke my heart. We have these parents being told, We'll take care of your kid. Nothing's going to happen. It's not, but we'll fix them. We'll fix them for you and it'll be fine. And they're infants, they're little ones, they're tiny. And these moms, especially, are being told, don't talk about it. We've got this. We can handle this for you by the medical community. And that was terrifying and heartbreaking to me that not only you have the child going through this trauma, but then you have the parents, specifically the moms also. That's going to be echoing throughout their lives saying, what did I agree to? I didn't fully understand this. I was told this by the medical community that this would help my child. Clearly, I was misled. And it seemed to have been really, this is really odd to me. And I don't know if you found this odd. Based on the findings of only one doctor, what was up with that? That is just was so odd and unusual and strange to me. And I'm not really a member of the medical field, but did that strike you? You have more of a background, at least in well, maybe you'd like to talk about what your background is, that you have more of interaction in what you do without, well, you're not talking about films.
So in my when I'm not watching films, I'm working social work background in mental health. And yeah, to me it felt very reckless of the medical community to really back one individual as this is the end all be all. And what I'm also wondering is if people were also doing research, just trying to support his theories and not doing research of saying, do these theories hold? Which can be like a really detrimental thing to the medical community or anyone doing research, really, is if you're trying to prove a theory instead of saying, I have a theory, let's test it. And those are two, they sound like very slight differences in approach, but they can be yield very different results. So, I was really bothered by the fact that it was one person and we were like, yep, this is who we're going to back in all of this. But it also is, I mean, part of it is about sex and people are really uncomfortable with trying to understand bodies in relation to sex sometimes, many times. That's why, Johnson and Masters and Kinsey are like the only people that who talk, we're talking about sex outside of maybe Dr. Ruth. But, the fact that it was so taboo and instead of being inquisitive about it, they just heard one person say, okay, I have an understanding. They were like, perfect, A plus, let's just do that. And as we know, that doctor's approach was so detrimental to people because it's literally using surgery as the first form of intervention, which is not a healthy way to do anything in any medical field or practice. So, it's very mind-boggling.
It was so disturbing to me, and I just felt that this comes across as being Julie tapped into this community, which was fantastic. But she speaks to so many of us in this film with how our bodies are judged or treated in the medical community, in the society at large. How we are, one of my favorite scenes in the film, those little boxes that need to be checked, and you have, ambiguous as one of the checks. And it seems like no one in the medical community wants to check the ambiguous. They don't want to ever say, we don't know. So what they'll do is, and this is just not with the intersex community, this is with women's bodies, such as, like, for example, menopause at one point was never spoken about. We don't want to talk about that. Can't talk about it. Women's health care. I mean, we could just stand here. We could be here for hours and hours discussing how the medical community does not like to say it does not know. Scientists in general, I think, don't like to say they don't know. And society, I think, wants to tell you what it knows when it doesn't know. And we have these little boxes that we go through, all of us, all of our lives, that we feel that we have to check according to someone else's standards who are randomly somewhere, who hold themselves out to be experts when they simply don't know what they're doing is. They're making their theories, as you said, fit their preconceived notions. rather than having the theory tested, proven, scientific method, that kind of thing, and serving the community at large with actual research, not just, I'm going to make this theory fit what I think it this should be. And I think that just speaks to us, so many of us, where we are these days, what we're facing, of being told where we should be, what boxes we should be checking off. And that's what's the beauty of this film, I think. It's universal in its message. And these poor people suffered horribly. They really did. Their families suffered horribly. But it's universal in its message that we all want the same thing. I love how Julie did that. She made it an uplifting message. It's a very heavy subject, but she made it an uplifting film, which really impressed me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And there, one of the things that I think that Julie does so well in a lot of her stories is honoring the human experience and how individual human experience can be, and then also picking out the universal experiences that people can have, whether, we know someone who is intersex, whether an audience member is intersex, or if you are like myself, just a cisgender straight person going to see a film, that you can sit there and say, like, ah, I can see how these universal practices are harmful to everyone. And now here I am looking so specifically at this community that has been, silenced of their experience, and I get to understand that. And then I also find it very interesting, and they point out in the film too, is that with children who are intersex, it's immediately let's have a surgery to quote unquote correct. And then on the flip side, we have people who are transgender, and so many people are like, well, why do they have to have surgery? We need to hold off on having surgery. And it's like, I think it's one of the universal things in which largely the medical community struggles with people knowing their own body and what their body might need and what changes might be coming with their body. So I think that that universal message was so clear, and then being able to see it in the real impacts for the intersex community was extremely powerful, but
And
also very joyous.
exactly. And as a parent, it really resonated with me. So many parents, you can't help it. You make your child almost an extension of yourselves. You have these dreams, these hopes, and then it opens that great montage of the reveals, which honestly, I never had reveal parties. I don't know what where that came from. But I never had any reveal parties.
I
I have
think it was
no
bored
idea.
white people that didn't have culture that decided we're going to make the
Oh
gender binary our culture. It's
no.
not,
Did that.
gender's a social construct. We don't need that.
Did that. I had four kids. I never did that with any of them. But people want to see their children as, it's natural in a parent. We're gonna figure out their whole life. They're gonna go to this school, they're gonna do this, they're gonna take up archery, they're gonna be cheerleaders, and they have their whole lives planned out for their child. And I think that the medical community really had locked into that and said, we're going to help you with that. And that's scary. That's scary when someone outside of yourself tells you they know better what's better for your child than you do. Alarm lights should go off, at least in my experience, that and you but sometimes parents feel overwhelmed in the situation. And who do you turn to? Who can you rely on? And as an authority that will help you, because no one knows everything. I mean, parenthood is a series of mistakes, really. You screw up, you do better the next day. It's a series of working with your child, and it's a daily learning experience for your parent as much as for the kid. Who do you turn to when if you can't turn to the medical community if you have concerns? And that's what's really disturbing to me, because I saw, and I don't, I think we touched on this. I saw women who were alone, who were single parents. I saw women who maybe weren't of a certain class. They were not wealthy that they could maybe get a second opinion. They were relying, or even a third opinion. They were relying on the medical community to be of help to them. And I felt like that is a special situation that you really need to recognize, that these women who were alone, that were single parents who maybe did not have the financial means to question or push back or ask for second or third opinions, take their child to another healthcare situation, these were the ones who were told, we're going to fix your kid for you. And I find that especially, especially disturbing. And so I also find that not just isolated to this part of the community either. That situation to me, I think Julie really nails perfectly that, we need to support our parents better.
Yeah. And I think, that just as a disclaimer, there are great doctors
Oh,
and
absolutely.
healthcare professionals, but
Absolutely.
I think one of the things that comes with being a doctor is you kind of hold an authority over your patients and their supports, because we have had this idea that you as a doctor, you as a physician, in some way are supposed to have the answers. And I think that we forget that doctors are human. Like, they literally say that they practice medicine. It's not that they're perfect at medicine, they're practicing medicine. So practice makes better, but we understand that, these are also humans trying to make decisions to save a person's life, to better their life, to, make them as comfortable with whatever they have currently happening to them. But as a community with that hierarchy, there's a little bit of sometimes what we call like a God complex. And you see that a lot in the medical community. I work in the mental health community, and obviously that happens there too, is we're there to fix things and make it better. And I have all of the ideas for it. And so it is really a call to action of people who are in that community to start to hold their peers accountable. And you also did see that, especially when they talked about David Reimer and, his psychologists end up kind of advocating for him. If you don't know who David Reimer is, he was a twin who, after a botched circumcision, his parents were encouraged to have David undergo a surgery to make him more female presenting, and then raise him as a young girl, which that's not, they said that if you nurture your child to be a girl, they will be a girl. And very much that is not what happened. And David Reimer ended up learning about what had happened to him. And yeah, it was really several doctors who then advocated saying, no, like this kid does not feel at home in their body. They don't feel at home being, called a girl's name. They don't want this. And I found that to be, it was a very hard story to listen to. But I think it was very brave of David to eventually come forward and tell exactly what had happened to him, because he very much was recognizing if it's happening to him, then it's got to be happening to other people.
And it was so brave of that team. You mentioned the team of psychologists. I mean, not only did they advocate, they literally put their professional careers on the line. They received so much backlash, and it was amazing. I mean, that was incredible what they went through to make sure that the truth got out and that their theories that counteracted what was the standard procedure got out. It was just amazing what they risked and what they went through to get that truth out. Wow. It was incredible. So yeah, I mean, the film is just, it's a must see. And it just really moved me. I was so struck by just the sheer joy and happiness that the three individuals had. I mean, sure, they struggle, but we all do. And they seem to be really contented in their community that they've created for themselves. And I just and Empowered, which is fantastic. I mean, they're addressing local government agencies, and they're making art, and they're acting, and they're making music and performance art, and it's just wow. I mean, they're really taking their lives and making it speak to their what their experiences are. I just was so admiring. I don't know where Julie finds them. I mean, that was just she just found these great people to be in this film, and I just they just were so positive despite all that they had been through. It was just amazing to me.
And also like being able to find humor in some of their circumstances. Like obviously not everything can be a laughing matter, but being able to, go back home to New Jersey and crack jokes about being in New Jersey
Oh,
after you've left.
everybody does that.
Yeah, but like after
It's
you've
New
left
Jersey.
and
Yeah,
found
absolutely.
yourself, and instead of being super traumatized by being home, you can find humor in all of it. And yeah, I mean, I think, and it also ended on such a beautiful and hopeful note. I do recommend that people stay for the credits,
Yes.
because
I'm
I thought
glad you
that that
said
was
that.
so special. It really, to me, was kind of like the encapsulation of the joy in the film. Again, we go on a journey that is difficult, but it ends in joy. And I think that that's such an important note for it, for the film to end on.
I think that's what we should end on. I think that was great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Morgan, for being with us. Fantastic to talk with you as always. And please go, everyone, go see Everybody. Watch for it on streaming. I'm sure it will come on streaming eventually too. Go to your theaters and see it. It's so worth it. And it's a very happy film. It really
Yes.
is. So just embrace that happiness and share it with people you care about. It's so worth seeing. Thank you, Morgan. This has been In Their Own League. I am Joan Amen, and we'll talk again soon.